if you noticed when you drove in today, those of you parked in the back building has a fresh coat of paint on it. Shane, would you stand up, please? As a part of his trail life requirements, this entrepreneur, this businessman put together the team, and they got this thing, he directed them, got this thing painted. And so let's give them a hand. God bless you, Shane. And we're glad to have little Mariah here. She's in the back. Okay, but Matt and Bethany and boys and McCall, I know you're glad to have Mariah here, and God bless you. Glad to have Ms. O'Keary here with us today. God bless you. Always welcome. Stand up, Ms. O'Keary, so they can see you. God bless you. God bless you. And High Chief, if you'd join me up here at this time. He's been into my wardrobe again. I asked the High Chief to come and give us a little short update on what has gone on with the sycamore at Nazi, the new church that has been planted there. And John's got some pictures. So here you go, High Chief.
We really want to thank God for what God is doing with Sycamore Church right here and what he's doing back in Nigeria. We started off one by acquiring the land that is, we leased the land. They weren't really ready to sell, and of course we didn't have the money to pay for it, so we decided to lease. And so the next thing to do was to set up a tent, where we can have worshippers come. First of all, lay a concrete floor and then call the builders to set up this tent. The capacity of this tent, we projected and budgeted for 100 people at the beginning. Well, the guy building said he wants to sow seed, and so he decided to make it up to 130 people capacity. So we're paying for 130 people capacity, or what we're supposed to pay is for 100, but we're paying for 130. That is free. So we were able to achieve this, and the second step what I took was to think about our instrument, to buy the instruments that they're going to use. The next thing, if we buy the instruments, if we leave it inside this tent, and of course the thieves will come there, they're probably going to break in and steal everything. So what we did was to rent a house for the pastor, where he's going to live. So the distance from this tent to the pastor's house is not far. So at the end of the day, when they finish using the instrument, they have to carry the instrument to the pastor's house, and there it's going to be. So that's how we keep that secure for now. Meet the pastor, Pastor Bethel. He's about 27. So pastor, he's in the pastor school. He's going to graduate in the next 1 or 2 years. Pastor Bethel is my cousin, my maternal cousin, and he's really, really into the Word of God, and he's more of an evangelist. And I think he's really the right person that we can really use in starting off this church. He has a lot of zeal. He's ready to work morning to night. So far, he lives close to that church, and he's been supervising the people building the tent and doing other things. Now, after setting up that the tent, got the pastor, bought the instrument. We also bought chairs. The chairs are not like this. We like the plastic chairs. And so we got plenty of the plastic chairs. They're very useful. They easily be moved. We got the plastic chairs. We have the pulpit. And other little things that we got for the church to start off. Then the next thing is, this week coming, we're going to start off by having a rally. Okay. In this rally, they're going to go from door to door, spreading out the flyers, preparing them for the forthcoming crusade on the 28th, 29th. So 28th and 29th of this month, they're going to have crusade, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. For the 2 days. And the crusade will not end up on the last day, which is Sunday on the 30th, with the dedication of the church. And at that moment, people can sit down there and start worshiping. And so we believe in God that within this week, a lot of things are going to happen there. I wish I'd be there. If I had the money to fly down there and witness it for myself, that would be great. But I won't be there. So, but a lot of things are going to, you know, really happen during this period. We feel strongly that we're going to have people to start worshiping there. And so when we fulfill, when we start off all this, the next thing will now start being that we start having a long-term plan. One, think about how we're going to be paying the pastor with one or two other people that's going to be helping him. And then three is how to get permanent land where we're going to build a permanent structure. We're paying yearly basis. We don't know when the owner of the land is going to say, well, we don't want to lease anymore. So before it comes to that point, by God's grace, we'll be able to find a permanent land where we can build. But in the meantime, we want to build the number of the people in the church. We want to build them strongly and build on the principles of the teaching that we have here. It's the same thing that we just want to duplicate over there. Questions?
Thank you very much. And so, you know, this week, this is the week to be praying. So Sycamore on the other side of the planet, it's a blessing. Who would have thunk it? What a blessing. And pray for Bethel. He is a fine young man and wired up. I mean, he is high energy. If you're around him, he just can't be still. And he's a blessing. Let's pray right now. Lord, we're thanking you for what you're doing in the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to be part of it. And Lord, I pray for Bethel Armani and for the Sycamore at Nazi. Lord, I'm asking you that you'll come with your power and strength. Lord, there's not another church where this church is. And where they're going to be meeting, God. I'm asking you that you'll come, that people will come to Jesus, that the gospel will go forth, that the power of God will be shown as you do the miraculous there. We bless you and thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
One of the reminders you should take away from this morning that is, we live in a world that likes to inundate us with a lot of bad news, sad news, and just a lot of garbage and lies. Well, this morning you should take heart to realize that God is alive and working very well. We've heard testimonies what God is doing in China, what God is doing in Nigeria, and God is doing a lot right here in Savannah, Georgia. And it's all because we have people of God, the church of God is seeking the face of God to do something. And He is willing to invest Himself in us as we are willing to invest ourselves in what He is doing in the earth. And we're crying out with God to provide those laborers for the harvest because the harvest is white under being ready to go. And I want you to take heart this morning because I still believe a lot of us let way too much noise into our lives. We allow too many other things that are not important to suck the life out of us, to steal, kill, and destroy that which of God is doing in our lives. And so we do join celebration around the earth this morning. And by the way, I could add Zambia to that because I just was reading a post this morning from the people I went to Zambia with, and they have a Good News Club, and the other day they had 600 children show up. They ran out of room, Good News Club, telling the gospel. God is up to a lot of things. Let's look to Him. Let's look up, and let's cry out to Him. And even though life can get kind of hurried and all messed up at times, He's still on the throne. He's still doing very, very well, and He is still moving. And so this morning, I want to pray for us, and then let's look at being close to God. What does that really mean? How does that work itself out? Let's pray. Father, we do praise You. We do exalt You. We do acknowledge that You are working. And God, You have made a choice, and that is You're going to work through Your people. But God, I pray that Your people would fall on their faces and seek the face of God. Cry out. Cry out, God, that You would continue to do a great work, that we'll join You in what You're doing in the earth. God, we don't have a plan. We seek You for You to show us Your plan. God, I pray today as we even think about the next thing for the Sycamore Church, the next step that we have to take to get back to where You're calling us to be, Father. I pray You'd give us revelation. I pray You'd give us favor. God, I pray You'd give us provision for that. And God, we are seeking You for Your glory and Your honor. in Jesus' name. Amen. Max Lucado wrote a book called 6 Hours, One Friday. Max Lucado is a pastor and author out of Texas. And in his book, 6 Hours, One Friday, he opens it with a story that tells one time he was driving through Texas and he went into a cemetery. Max and I, while we have probably very few things in common, one of the things I know we have in common is Kathy and I like driving through cemeteries too. It's just one of those unique things. I think everybody here has a story, good, bad, or indifferent. They have a story. But he came across one lady's tombstone, and their name was Lou Ellen Smith. I'm sorry, Grace Lou Ellen Smith. And this is what it said. And I want you to think about this for a second. Here's what it said. Sleeps, but rests not. Loved, but was loved not. Died as she lived, alone. Do you know what strikes me the most about that, though? As I heard that story about 2 weeks ago, by the way. I wasn't reading that book. I just heard the story is this. How much of my life do I feel like at times I've been dying by inches and I looked around and I believed I was alone? I really wasn't alone. I just believed I was alone. That I had basically had put myself into a place where I felt like it was just me against the world, and that was a lie. And so this morning, as we walk through looking at our relationship with intimacy with God, I want to open up with some questions for you to think about as we begin this morning before we look at some scripture. And the first one is simply this. I know I said, oh, there we go. Is there open communication between God and yourself? How regularly do you believe you're hearing from God? How regularly do you believe you're talking with God? How often are you spending time listening, seeking, and wanting His voice? How often are you waiting in great expectations for God to show you something, to experience His real love, the presence of Him in your life? Another question is simply this. Is there trust in the relationship? We live in a culture, a society, where trust is very fickle at best. It is so difficult to trust so many people because it seems like so many people, even sometimes those close to us, are out for themselves and only themselves. And so there, it's hard to make ourselves vulnerable at times. And the last question is this, and it'll probably mess with you a little bit. Is God a part of your relationship with Him? Is God a part of your relationship with Him? I'm not necessarily talking about salvation here. I'm talking about, is there any vitality to your relationship with Him? Or if you were to describe it today on that proverbial scale of 1 to 10, 1 being dead and 10 being alive, you're somewhere about -3. Because one of the things you need to realize today, since we're using the word intimacy, is this. Our relationship with God impacts every relationship we have in our lives. If I can't trust Him, how will I trust somebody else? If I can't be vulnerable with Him, how will I be vulnerable with anybody else? If I can't even feel like I can talk to Him about the most deepest parts of my being, and yet He created me, how will I talk to those that I knew I can trust and I know I can be vulnerable with? How can I do those things that bring and give me life? So is God really a part of your relationship with Him? Or is it based off some superficial knowledge, some information that you're living vicariously through somebody else's relationship? Because that becomes very dangerous, but I think it's very easy in our culture. So often, I've been watching a lot of the World Cup soccer, the ladies' World Cup soccer's on. And probably the Okiris and me are the only people in here that watched Nigeria yesterday and was really, really hoping they would win. And they disappointed, but I was pulling for them, Dr. O'Carey. And I was looking at all those people over there, and I was thinking, they are so engrossed in one thing in their life. Is there any awareness of anything going on? And I would ask you that last part of that question, is God a part of your relationship with Him? Are you so engrossed with surviving life that you forgot to live life along the way? And so as we look at intimacy with God this morning, we're going to look at some basic points. But I wanted to challenge you because one of the things that we have in our culture, I think a lot of times is this, and I say it all the time, is this. We have a lot of relationships that have about an inch worth of depth to them and that they go a mile wide, but there's no real depth. There's no life-changing depth to them. It's amazing, isn't it, how you can sometimes sit next to somebody somewhere. Maybe it's here. Maybe it's life group. Maybe it's at work. And you know about 10 or 15 superficial things about them, but yet you're physically close to them all the time, but yet you know somebody that you've known maybe for a few years or a lot of years. They live across the country, but you feel very close to them. In August, Kathy and I will travel to see our friends from Chicago. We're meeting them in North Carolina. Their son's a Marine now, and we're going to meet them up there to see all of them. And I already know because God has a sense of humor when he brought the two of us together. His name is Rodney. And that the fact is he absolutely is the opposite of me. And what I mean by that is he doesn't care anything about sports. Okay? He just doesn't care anything about that kind of stuff. Other than this, he looks at life as kind of an adventure. And so when we show up in North Carolina and we hug and do all that, it will be like that we just left each other the other day. But when we leave each other, there'll be a longing to see each other once again. And I believe that this morning, I'd like to create that in your life for your relationship with God. Is that when you close the Word, when you walk away from a prayer saying amen, as you leave a worship service, life group, or someplace that you might go where there's other Christians, that what you'd long for is you want to continue to sense that presence of God wherever you go, whatever you're doing, which I believe is very obtainable. I believe if you look throughout the Bible that those people that we call the heroes of the faith, that they experience God regardless of circumstances. Wouldn't you like to experience God regardless of circumstances? Wouldn't you like to experience God regardless of how you're feeling that day? So let's look at some things about intimacy with God. And the first one is simply this. Trust in Him is key to closeness. Do you trust Him? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? When He said, come follow me, come and see, come hang out with me, have you hung out with Jesus? Have you really experienced the living Christ? Have you experienced the fullness of what He's offering you? Come near to God and He will come near to you. It says in James 4:8. And then the psalmist in 73:28 simply says this, but as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Is there a place in your life right now where you believe that you are seeking God, but in essence what you've really done is you have ran ahead of Him? That you've decided to do your own plan, your own course, and therefore you've said, I need to trust God more? Well, why don't you just take a great step today and simply say, I'm going to trust His plan. I'm going to trust His purpose. I'm going to trust His love. I'm going to trust His grace. I'm going to trust His mercy. Because I want you to know something. The closer I get to God, it magnifies His greatness, and it sure does diminish my worries and fears. And I want you to know most of us today magnify our fears and worries, and it diminishes the power and the sovereignty of God. It diminishes all that He can be in your life. What does it look like? Man, we got to get close to Him. We got to get close to Him and say, I trust you. I believe in you. Without trust, it can cause to feel like there's more because there's more to the relationship with God. You see, as you get nearer to Him, you don't experience wanting less of Him. You experience wanting more of Him. You experience wanting more of Him. When you're in the Word, it's not a have to, it's not a get to, it's a want to, and I can't stop wanting. Because you realize as you're wanting to, how desperately He wanted you to want to. And when you start to love your enemies and you forgive those who have hurt you, you realize how desperately that you can experience the more fullness love of God because you allowed your heart to be healed and you allowed that heart of stone to become a heart of flesh. But you had to get near Him because you see, before James 4:8, there's another little verse there in James 4. It starts really up about 4, 5, and 6, and it says something like this. Submit yourselves there to God so the devil will flee. So the devil will flee. You see, there's not a third option. I think so often, sometimes when it comes to intimacy with God, we live in the, I can do it. I can make it. It's really not that bad. It's okay. And yet there's so much more to experience. Trust in Him is key to that closeness. What makes us feel intimate with another person? Well, there has to be a degree of intimacy in each relationship, and that begins with trust. Kevin and I celebrated a long time together on March 30th. It was 28 years. But it didn't just start when we got married, that trust. If I didn't trust her, I wouldn't have married her. If she didn't trust me, she wouldn't have married me. I mean, some of you are thinking, you sure she didn't marry for all your money? Yeah. I don't even have my wallet. She probably has it. Get this very clearly today. I believe more and more every day in my own life that as I'm willing to trust Him more, then I get to see what He's willing to entrust me with. I'll say that again to you. The more and more I trust Him, the more I believe He's willing to entrust me with. In particular, recognizing His presence, recognizing where He's working, recognizing His voice in the smallest, just the smallest detail. How's your trust with Him today? Trust is at the heart of intimacy. The more we trust, the closer we can be with someone. We don't worry about all the things they find out about you because they love you. They love you. They'll love you up close. They might love you from a distance, but they'll love you even more up close. Trust in Him is key to closeness. Second one, it starts with who you know. This is on two slides, and before I read that, it's from The Message. And it's Philippians 3, 7 through 9. It's a very familiar passage, but if you left you read it from The Message, it isn't going to sound familiar. This is when Paul says, I do not consider those things. That's usually how it starts out. But listen to The Message version. This is Paul. The very credentials these people are waving around at us as something special. I'm tearing it up and I'm throwing it out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Jesus. Yes, all things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Master. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. See, you go home and tell somebody God put in the Bible dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could what? Know better? Have more? No. So I could embrace Christ, but be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty inferior brand of righteousness. I didn't want to stand at a distance. I needed to know it closely. That comes from keeping it a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Let me tell you something. I read that the other day, and man, I read it probably six times over and over, and I said, God, I want to own that. I want to take ownership in that. I want to take ownership with Jesus. I want Him to take complete ownership of me. Is that the way you feel about Jesus? I'm willing to dump all the things that I thought made me somebody into some garbage can and realize that I'm chasing Jesus, and Jesus has been chasing me, and we're one, and I can have all of Him. I can stand because He'll give me everything of Him, and He won't hold back, and He won't out. Starts with who you know. Can you honestly say today that you've experienced Jesus, the living Christ? Our faith in Him is what He desires most, not some great biblical knowledge. In fact, let me read this quote to you. Biblical knowledge is far better than gold when it fuels our trust in God. Otherwise, it only fuels our pride. In essence, Dane talk would be this. How much you know doesn't really impress anybody until they know that you know the living God and it's made a life-changing difference in your life. I can dispel. In fact, isn't it challenging sometimes when it says in the Bible, even the demons know the Word of God? That even demons know about Jesus. But do you know Him personally? Can you say you've embraced the living Christ? So intimacy starts with God by who you know. Next one. Intimacy with God often occurs in the places where we must trust Him the most. This is an off-quoted passage, but I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts about it that you may have not heard before. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. God is a God about being before we do anything. Here's the reason why I tell you that this morning. All of us are challenged to be faithful servants of the Most High God. Keep serving. Keep doing that. But don't forget about something. He's about a relationship that you're to experience His being. When it says, that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what it's talking about right there? Refreshment. Will you come and just be with me in my shadow? Get out of the sun. Get out of the sun. Get out of the heat of life. Get out of that dry weather and come into my shadow and let's spend some time together. I can still remember, I had a great grandmother that when we lived in the country in Kentucky, we would sit under these three or four huge trees that had all kinds of shade. And I can still remember her bringing out those silly lawn chairs that had the weaving that you had to go back and forth, that crisscross pattern. Okay, some of you don't know it, Google, you'll see a picture of lawn chair with crisscross pattern, hopefully. But she would bring out lemonade or Kool-Aid in these metal cups. And I can still hear the jingling of the ice. And we were going to just sit under that shade tree. And she was probably going to tell me the same story over and over that she had told me years and years. But how precious just being in the shade with my Kool-Aid and my lemonade refreshed me and had me ready to do whatever she had next for me to do, because she always had something for us to do. Do you feel today like you need some refreshment? Because let me tell you something, if you want to have a greater intimacy with God, then you can't have your life sucked out of you and you don't have anything left to give. Come into His presence and allow Him to refresh you this morning. The secret place of the Most High Every child, every person should look forward to that. Because when it says the shadow of the Almighty, that's an expression which implies great nearness. We have to walk away from, we have to walk very close to Him to have a close companionship with Him. But the part about this is this, to walk near, what do you got to walk away from? What do you need to walk away from today to be closer to Him? What must you have to trust God for the right now, that which means for you to draw closer to Him? It's not an invitation that you can just wrestle with forever. There's a now offering for you today. There is something now that God is speaking to you about today. There is something that God's been stirring in your heart maybe in the past. You've been wrestling with it. You don't want to submit to it. And God say, will you come in and let me refresh you? Will you come in and let me be a refuge and a fortress? Because we're under real battle stress. We're under real battle stress. We don't necessarily, just because we follow Christ, doesn't mean we get to be excused from the battles. Matter of fact, we're in attack mode in the battle. We're not victims, we're victors. And as part of that is, though, is if we're tired and we're hungry and we're weary, then we are in big trouble. Because therefore, we're not going to focus, we're not going to listen, and we're not going to be in offensive mode, we're going to be in defensive mode, and then we're going to turn into victims. But that is not a victim mentality. That's saying, yes, I'm going to come and I'm going to be refreshed. Because so often in our lives, one of the toughest challenges about being close to God is where are we struggling with trusting Him the most right now? What is it we can't see? We can't understand. Instead of wrestling today, relax and rest and let God give you some peace and let Him order your steps. Let Him clear it out for you. Let Him clarify for you. It's not a Lone Ranger mentality. Coming to the shelter of the Most High often occurs in the places where we must trust Him the most. And then number four, intimacy with God was His intention from the beginning. Could have read a lot of Scripture. Could have read the one James read to us. But I picked Psalm 139. I think there's a couple of interesting points I'm going to point out to you. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Here's sometimes I've met some people that I've thought, what was God thinking? You probably thought that about me. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me. And I want you to see something. How precious also are your thoughts to me. What you're thinking of me is priceless. How you view me, how you look at me, it's life-changing because it's truth. It's the real image of who I'm supposed to be. You're thinking of me out of love and in love and through love. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand when I awake. I am still with you. I wanted you to know something about that word precious for just a second. The root meaning of that word rendered precious is weighty. Meaning not weighty as oppressive, but weighty as in life-changing, life-moving, moving us towards the presence of God, the reality of how much He thinks of us and how much we're on His mind. He's not concerned, the psalmist is not concerned about not being known. He's thinking about all the ways He is known. And that realizing that giving just lip service to God has a plan, a purpose for our life, cannot just stand there, that if He knows the very being, the very details of my life, then He has a purpose and a plan that is life-giving, not to me, but just to others. How much of your life do you spend each week giving away to others? The reason why I want you to think about that for a second is this. When you're giving away, how are you replenishing? When you're giving out, how much from Him are you taking in? If I should count them, they would be so much that I couldn't number them. I couldn't count them. Precious thoughts of Him towards us and Him towards us towards Him. Think about the reciprocal nature right here. That is a psalmist that realizes in great detail not just how much God knows him, not just how much God loves him, but the details, the particulars, the step-by-step process of what God has for him. We are life givers if we have Christ in us. So this morning, as I've shared a few points about intimacy with God, I end you with a couple of questions. First one is simply this. Is there a sense of connectedness to God in your relationship right now? Or is it kind of broken? Or I'll have to use an old thing that you older people have to explain to the younger ones in just a moment. Or is it kind of like a broken record? Is it stuck? Is it in pause? And the second one, believe God is offering more depth to the relationship. More depth. I believe something that about God is on this earth, because Paul alluded to it, on this earth, we'll never fully know Him, but that should never stop us from pressing in to know Him more intimately. Because the more I press in to take hold of Him, the more I discover the reality and the totality of His nature, of His character, of His workings. But maybe the most precious thing is this. The more I personally discover the presence of God in my life, the more at peace I am. The more I can think clearly. The more I will not quit and I will not give in and I will not stop pressing in to take hold of Him. This world offers us such menial substitutes. It's the same thing that Satan offered Jesus after the desert experience. World, our flesh wants power, our flesh wants money, and our flesh likes to rule. In your life, there's a battle that goes on for this intimacy. Where's the battle happening? How is it happening? And how is God speaking to you about being a victor in that battle? Because this thing with intimacy with God, it's like I was reading Dutch Sheets's, I was actually listening to Dutch Sheets's intercessory prayer the other day, going down the road. And I love the way Dutch says this. He says, and kind of back to what James read to us earlier, because Adam was created in the likeness or the image of God in the garden. He said when Adam was walking through the garden, it was like the animals could look at Adam and say, whoa, there goes God. Whoa, there goes God. How about in our places that we go, if people can look and say, whoa, there's something different because I know about their life, but they don't seem to succumb to circumstances. Whoa, they love people without conditions. Whoa, I heard that someone did them wrong. Instead of gossiping, they said, I will give no place to that gossip. I choose to forgive them. Whoa, there's somebody that loves his or her spouse unconditionally. Whoa, there's somebody that doesn't pretend to be perfect. Whoa, there's somebody that's willing to share some struggles. Whoa, there goes somebody that has something that I want some of. Intimacy with God? What are you close to in your life right now? And I'm not talking about just a relationship with a spouse, a child, a family member. What are you really close to right now in your life? And how is God challenging you this morning to draw nearer to Him? Let's begin to pray and ask God to just begin to speak to us. God, we like to proclaim today is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Let's be glad in what God's speaking and stirring in our hearts right now. Let's be glad of how God is continuing to draw us so close to Him. Let's be glad today that He sent Jesus, the living Christ, to die in our place and to be raised and just take all the sins, the past, the present, the future, so we could be so close to Him that at times we think we have bumped into Him. I long for that. I don't long for bumping into worries or fears or doubts or confusion. I long for bumping into the living presence of God. And I pray that when people bump into me, that they think they're bumping into the living presence of God. God, what are you just speaking to us now? Let's just take a moment to reflect on what God's saying. You have your prayer cards. You can be filling those out. We'll take those up in just a moment. Let's just be quiet before God. Father, how are you asking us to cooperate with you to God? I mean, God, this is a day like no other because it's the one we get to choose to participate in. God, help us not to drag stuff that were meant to be left in the past into the present. The altar is open. If you want to come pray with one of the guys and our wives, feel free. Grab somebody else. Pray right there where you are with somebody. What's God stirring? Let's pray. Father, I know you're up to good things because you're a good God. God, you're battling for us. You're battling for our minds. You're battling for our hearts. God, I pray we'd be wise spiritually. Father, may we walk in the Spirit. God, may we love you back with all we've got. Lord, I pray we will not settle today or this coming week. Lord, we'll seek you with renewed want. God, may we bless you. May we honor you through what we say, do, and think. Protect us, especially as we leave this place, Father. Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, we're through. Thank you.